Hey y'all, and welcome back to Surviving Me. I'm your host, Day, and today we are talking about anxiety. Now, today's episode is an informative one, though, also honest, and it's also real, because anxiety isn't always what we think it is. It's not always panic attacks. It's not always shaking or feeling afraid. Sometimes anxiety is literally quiet, and sometimes it feels like exhaustion, and sometimes it feels like functioning, but barely. So today I want to talk about what anxiety actually is and the many ways it can affect you mentally, physically, and emotionally, and how to know when it's time to get help without shame or judgment or feeling like you felt, because you know over here we don't judge, okay? So jumping right into segment one, which is what anxiety really is. At its core, anxiety is your body's alarm system. It's designed to protect you, to keep you alert, to help you respond to danger. The problem isn't anxiety itself. The problem is when that alarm system does not turn off. When your nervous system stays in survival mode long after the threat is gone, your body and mind start responding to everyday life as if something bad is about to happen, even when it's not. And that's when anxiety stops being helpful and starts being exhausting. Jumping into segment two, which is how anxiety shows up in more ways than one, because if we are being real, anxiety is a full circle moment. It's not just a one ball thing, like, oh, I only got anxiety when this happened. Typically, if you are a person who has anxiety, it's full circle. Like, it's not just when certain things happen, it's a full circle thing. And what I mean by that is a lot of people don't realize they're dealing with anxiety because it doesn't look like what they've been taught. So if we get into how anxiety shows up mentally and emotionally, anxiety can show up as constant overthinking, racing thoughts, worst case scenario thinking, difficulty focusing, feeling on the edge or easily irritated, or emotionally overwhelmed. Sometimes anxiety isn't fear, it's mental noise that just won't quiet down. And if we get into how it affects you physically, it can look like tightness in your chest, shortness of breath, stomach issue or nausea, or headaches or muscle tensions or fatigue, even though you know you just rested, or trouble falling and staying asleep. A lot of people think something is wrong with their body when really it's just your nervous system is super overwhelmed. And that is why all that stuff is happening, the tightness in your chest, the shortness of breath, the nausea, the trouble falling asleep and staying asleep. That's your nervous system way of showing you, like, oh baby, we're disrupted. Like, you need to figure out what's disrupting us and get it back in on track. It's literally just your nervous system, like, baby, we are disrupted. Let's figure out how to get us back. And if we get into how it affects us behaviorally, anxiety can change how you move through life. And I know that may be like, that's dramatic. It's really that serious. It really can, because it could show up as avoiding people or situations, overworking to stay distracted, procrastination, isolation disguised as self care, and pulling away from things you once enjoy. Sometimes anxiety doesn't look like panic. Sometimes it looks like withdrawing. And a lot of us like to think, like, oh, I'm just doing that because I'm taking care of my mental health. And if you're truly doing that, then shout out to you, because I believe, you know, mental health is very important. And if you need to, you know, withdraw yourself or distance yourself from people to keep your mental health at a place you need it to be, then I'm all for it. But if you are constantly doing that on a daily basis, like often, like every couple months, you're feeling like you have to withdraw from people because it's just too loud, that's anxiety, okay? We get into segment three, which is when anxiety and depression overlaps. Something else that doesn't get talked about enough is how anxiety and depression often coexist together. You can be anxious and still feel low. You can be depressed and still have racing thoughts. You can feel numb and overwhelmed at the same time. Anxiety can lead to burnout. Burnout can lead to emotional heaviness. And then suddenly you're functioning but not really living. That overlap doesn't mean you're broken. It means your system has been carrying too much for too long. Listen to your body. Listen to your body. Nobody knows you better than you. Don't forget I said that. Jumping into segment four, which is making a decision to get help. I want to take a pause here and share something personal, not for sympathy, because I don't feel no type of way, because obviously if I did feel some type of way, I wouldn't be comfortable enough to come on here and tell y'all this, because basically this is personal. I really don't have to say this. This is like HIPAA, but I'm doing this for motivational purposes for anybody else who may be in the same space as me and is afraid to go get the help that they need based off feeling like they may be judged or they don't want to be looked at as crazy, whatever the case may be. That is the reason why I'm sharing this, simply for that, not for sympathy. At some point I realized I wasn't just dealing with stress anymore. I was showing up, I was functioning, but internally I was overwhelmed and exhausted. So I made the decision to go and get help. And by doing that, I was able to be properly evaluated and diagnosed. My diagnosis was adjustment disorder with mixed anxiety and depressed mood. And I want to explain what that actually means, because hearing a diagnosis can feel scary if you don't understand it. But when I heard it, I felt relieved, to be honest. What I mean by I felt relieved is, if you've been living with something for so long, like I lived with anxiety for as long as I could remember, it literally became my norm until it didn't. Until it became so overwhelming and so hard for me to control or get myself back to my regular base point, that's when I realized that, hold on now, this is becoming a problem. Like, yes, this has been my norm and this is what I'm used to, but now it's starting to feel a little too heavy. So when I went to my doctor and I told her all of these things, and she was able to basically pull together a diagnosis for everything I've been feeling for all these years, I felt relieved. Like, okay, so if it's a diagnosis, that means that it could be helped. And if it could be helped, that means get some type of relief from it. That's what I felt when I got a diagnosis for it. It really wasn't like, oh my God, I'm crazy. Oh my God, there's something that's wrong with me. It felt like, finally, I know exactly what is going on with me and I know exactly how to fix it. So let's get to it. But into segment 5, which is explaining what my diagnosis is. So adjustment disorder means your emotional response to life stressor is heavier or longer lasting than expected. It doesn't mean something is wrong with you. It means something happened and your system is having a hard time adjusting. The mixed anxiety and depressed mood part simply means that both anxiety symptoms and depressive symptoms are present at the same time. That can look like the racing thoughts, the emotional heaviness, the feeling overwhelmed, the difficulty sleeping, the irritability, the feeling low while still being productive. This diagnosis is considered situational, not permanent. It's often used when a provider believes that with the right support, things can improve. Getting the diagnosis didn't label me, it gave me language, and language creates options. Never forget that. Even if you go to the doctors and you get diagnosed with something and it sounds so heavy and you might hear it and be like, hold on, I ain't crazy. Don't look at it like that. Look at it as answers. Look at it as options. Because now that you know what it is, anything that you know what it is, you can work on, you can fix, you can get help. Don't look at a diagnosis as something that's here to make you be like, oh, you're so different from everybody else. Because if we're being technical, what the hell is normal? Nobody is really normal. I don't know who came up with what normal is and how they determine what is considered normal and what is not considered normal. But for real, nobody is normal, because there's a billion people in this world and we are all unique in our own little way. So how can there really be a normal if we're all different? Really think about that. Don't let that go over your head. And then the second sense is, when it's time to get help. There's a difference between having anxiety and anxiety running your life. It may be time to reach out. If your symptoms last for weeks or months, your sleep, work, parenting, or relationships are affected, you're constantly exhausted from managing your thoughts, you feel stuck, numb, or overwhelmed, you're coping but not actually living, you don't need to be at your breaking point to deserve support. Needing help doesn't mean things are bad enough. It means you're listening to your body and you're giving your body what it needs. Jumping into segment 7, which is getting help can look like. Getting help doesn't really look the same for everybody. Like I said, we're all different. There's a billion people in this world. We're all unique in our own way. Getting what I needed to get help may look different from what you need when you go and get help, but that doesn't mean that it won't work. So getting help can include therapy. It can include medication. It can include lifestyle changes. It can include learning nervous system regulation, or a combination of all of them. Medication doesn't mean you're weak. It means your nervous system just needs a little extra support. Sometimes medication helps calm the body enough for therapy and healing to work actually be effective. Support is not failure. Support is strategy, okay? Because my health looked like medication. I was diagnosed with a very low dose of medication, but since it's still in a new phase, I can't really tell y'all that it's working because it needs to be at least 4 to 6 weeks to really get see if it's been helping. But you do go to that placebo effect, like, because you know you're taking something, it's like, oh, it's working because this happened. But then my mom broke it down for me a little better to help me not feel like, oh, this is fake. I know I'm just saying this because I know I've been taking this medicine, even though it's not going to work instantly, as I'm saying, like, oh, it's working because I know this happened, this stopped. I am still taking the medication, so the medicine that's in the medication is still getting into my body. Is it fully getting into my body to affect exactly and change it completely? No, but it is still getting in. So it is still having some effect. And I can honestly say I haven't felt more better than I did since I started taking the medication than I did a few weeks ago. And my sleep pattern has started improving a little bit more. I still wake up at 3:00 in the morning. It doesn't matter. But I've realized that sometimes if I go to sleep at a good enough time, I don't wake up overnight. I'm able to stay asleep. I don't think about the same thing all damn day. My anxiety was so bad. It got to the point where I would be obsessing over something and I would literally think about that one situation from sun up to sun down. And I could have been doing 1,000 things. Like, I'm a mom. I work. I'm in school. Y'all do this podcast. So even though I could do all these things I'm saying, I was still thinking about that one thing all day, constantly just looping, just finding different things, different reasons, different outcomes, different everything, even though I was still doing everything else. And it could get exhausted. So by the end of the day, I'd be burnt out, mentally burnt out. And that's the worst type of burnout. If you know, you know. Jumping into segment 8, which is removing the shame. Many of us were taught to push through, to be strong, to be quiet. But anxiety isn't something you can just outwork or ignore, because once you have anxiety, you will always have anxiety. It does not go away. Anxiety is information, not a moral flaw, not a weakness. Healing isn't about doing it alone. It's about doing it honestly. So if you're listening to this and realizing anxiety has been showing up in your life in ways you didn't recognize, you're not late. You're becoming aware, and awareness is the first step towards relief. Jumping right into the letter to the listeners. Dear listeners, you don't have to survive everything silently. You don't have to wait until you're falling apart to deserve help. Listening to your body is strength. Choosing support is growth. Healing doesn't mean you fell. It means you chose yourself. The best thing you could ever give to yourself. If this episode resonated with you, please rate and review Surviving Me. It helps this conversation reach people who needs it. And if you want more reflective healing like this, subscribe to the Glow Letter on Substack. And don't forget, we did start an after hour book club. If you're looking for a bestie style book club where we discuss chapters about what's going on in the book and you want like a friendship vibe, then come join the book club. Everything would be in the show notes. Be sure to check it out on my link tree. And until next time, I will see y'all next episode. I've battled the silence, I've wrestled the shame, faced all my demons and called them by name. This ain't for sure, it's deeper than deep. I'm surviving.